This is MSO News Sports. I am Bill Newell, and we are joined by Matt Roy, writing for the Boston Herald. Matt, welcome. Thanks for joining us.
Good to see you, Bill. It's been a while.
Not that long. Since we've been doing this. You're right. Since the interview. Yeah. You're right. But we've been seeing each other from time to time alongside the football field or after games, whatever. So, Matt, let me just get your take. We've got several North Shore teams still alive in the for the Super Bowls, North Reading, St. Mary's, Kip, and, of course, St. John's Prep in Division I. We were just talking off air, North Reading playing on Friday night at Gillette, the other three teams all playing on Saturday against St. Mary's, Kip, and St. John's Prep. You know, you were at that North Reading game on Friday night with and Tim Kearns and Rick Moore were there for the from the website, and when Matt Guidebeck hit that 38-yard field goal with no time remaining for the North Reading win, propelling them into the Super Bowl.
Yeah, I mean, it was a phenomenal game. First, if you got to give Dave Woods and Bishop Fenwick a lot of credit, they made that game a lot more competitive than a lot of people thought it was going to be. I wasn't one of them. I really thought it was going to be a touchdown game either way. I had seen North Reading a couple times, and when we got to the end of the game, and Fenwick tied it, I looked at Nick Giannino and some of the guys in the press box I was sitting with. They said they left too much time because we had seen North Reading do that ourselves in one of the times we played. So one of the times we saw it when we were there together, Bill. So we knew how good North Reading could be, but I didn't think Fenwick was going to be that good.
You know, Matt, I've watched North Reading a couple of times this year, but like Fenwick, have some very good players. And you know what I was worried about most about the game is that, in a sense, is for North Reading's point of view, was that Bishop Fenwick had played a very, very tough schedule kind of battle tested. I think we've talked about that. And so I agreed with you. It would be a one touchdown game, very close game, very similar teams. But when you looked at North Reading throughout the year, there are always a handful of players that stand out on a team. Matt Guidebeck is one of those guys, the kicker, just in a phenomenal leg. Plus, he plays other positions and defense as well on that team.
He's one of those guys that, as you say, he's a jack of all trades. He can do a little bit of everything. That's what Ed Blum has at North Reading. He's got a lot of guys that can play a lot of positions, and they needed it on Friday night because Craig Rubino got hurt in the second quarter, and he was gone for the rest of the game, and they still found a way to score 32 points.
Yeah, that was huge. You're right. Losing Craig Rubino on that from that team. He's one of those top three for sure that are going to stand out. I'm not taking anything away from the linemen, don't get me wrong, but when you look at skilled players doing different things on the field, those guys like a Craig Rubino, Matt Guidebeck, and Carucci all stand out for sure.
Alex Carucci's as good a quarterback as I've seen in the last few years. He, as good as he is on offense, he's even better on defense at times, and he made a lot of big plays defensively Friday night.
All right, let's just jump around very quickly here, Matt, if we could. The Prep, I think a lot of people, they beat Central Catholic to get into the Super Bowl, and people aren't necessarily surprised at that because I think this Prep team is playing a lot better football of late. But how do you see that Super Bowl matchup coming up this week? Next week, rather, obviously.
If you're a football fan, you're looking your chops. I'm really surprised they put that game at 12:30 in the afternoon. I really thought it would be one of those primetime games, either the 5:30 or the 8 o'clock slot, simply because of the amount of talent that's going to be on the football field, let alone for St. John's Prep with Springfield Cathedral, with William Watson and a bunch of other guys going to D1. There's going to be 6, 7, 8 guys who are going to be playing Division I college football next year in that one game.
Matt, I agree with you. I kind of did a double take when I saw the take on that, the scheduling of that. They got Catholic Memorial playing in the 8 o'clock game in the Division II game against King Philip. Not a bad matchup, but you're right. You'd think you'd put – they've always thought it put the D1 game at the end on Saturday night. How about this Kip team, Matt? You've seen them, right, a few times. At least I saw them once, and they're impressive. They're taking on Hull in the 10 a.m. game on Saturday for the D8 Super Bowl.
You need to take their record, throw it out at the first four games because, yes, they were 0-4, but they were beat up. They had Juan Settle did not play for three of those games. it's not a coincidence when he came back and started being the quarterback again that they've won seven games in a row. He is a phenomenal player, and I think he's, as Coach Jim Rabbit has said, he's one of the more underrated players in Massachusetts. Doesn't get a lot of attention because of where he plays, but I think he can play for most of the teams that are in the Super Bowl.
I agree, and I think they have guys on that team that could play for any of those teams in the Super Bowls as well. Take any division. They have a few guys that could play on any of those teams, I think.
They're fast is what they have, and they show their speed. They've showed their speed in a big way in these playoffs.
Let's see here. Let's just check on St. Mary's then in D6, Matt, and they'll be playing on Saturday as well. In that Super Bowl matchup, I'm just looking for the time here because my thing is kind of screwed up. What? Oh yeah, 3:00. There you go. Stoneham. So that's a huge matchup right there.
That's a game. That is a Super Bowl that I think everybody predicted when these brackets came out. It was either going to be Stoneham and Rockland or Stoneham and St. Mary's. It just happens to be Stoneham and St. Mary's, and I've seen Stoneham when they played against a very good Melrose team. And they are the real deal. They are big up front. And Shane Farron, one of the best players in the state that no one talked about this year, he just does everything for them.
That score, the Stoneham-Melrose score, caught me as well during earlier this year when that matchup was happening. Of course, Melrose themselves, no stranger to Gillette Stadium over the past several years, but they must be down a couple of ticks this year for sure. Big matchup against an undefeated Wakefield team on Thanksgiving for Melrose this year. But yeah, that's a fantastic game as well, you point out, Matt. Matt, anything else on football? I want to just jump quickly to soccer in a moment here, but do you have any other thoughts on any other football that you've seen or matchups that I haven't asked you about?
I mean, you look at the teams that got there, and we all talked about how dominant the South was this year, a lot of the year. But when you look at the teams that got to the Super Bowl, 7 of the 16 are from the North. They just, all of a sudden, in the semifinals, they all showed up and they played well. They got 7 of almost half the field in Gillette. That is very impressive in a year like this.
No, exactly. And it's funny because if you look at some of the other tournaments, I don't know if it's funny really, Matt, but if you look at some of the other tournaments, the North was not as well represented in some of these matchups. Yeah.
I did two soccer finals on Saturday, and we were looking at all the finals, and it was all South and West teams winning.
Yeah.
I want to say either it was only the St. John's Prep and Newburyport Boys were the only North teams that won a title.
Yeah, no, but if you go and if you include Matt, field hockey, girls soccer, and volleyball, add Ipswich to the volleyball, so that's three, what I would call North Shore teams.
Watertown and Andover and field hockey, the North, but it was a very South dominated tournament for the most part.
Yeah, obviously, yeah, you got the North Andovers or Andovers for sure, and that kind of grouping for sure, yeah. But, you know, those were great teams. You got the Prep soccer team and Newburyport soccer. That's a great win for them. And Ipswich returning with a state championship for Ipswich in D4 volleyball.
Ipswich certainly made it interesting on themselves on Saturday morning. Was following that match on Twitter, and you don't get down 2-0 very often in a state final and come back and win. So all credit to the Tigers. That is a great, great job for them, finding a way to get the job done on Saturday.
Yeah, I had talked to their coach after their semifinal game, I guess it was. Yeah, and they had some tight sets in that one, although they won it 3-0. So that's interesting. So their semifinal, they win it 3-0, but they were very tight sets in that. And yet, as you point out, in the championship game, they did it the hard way, huh?
You're gonna be the best. If you're the champion, everybody's trying to knock you off, and they certainly got everybody's best shot this year in this tournament.
What stood out from Saturday's soccer games, Matt, at Manning Field?
Just how good Dave Kroll's St. John's Prep team is. I had seen Needham in the state semifinals on Tuesday against Weymouth, and they dominated the game. Against St. John's Prep on Saturday, the number one seed in the Division I could do nothing. They hardly got in front of the Prep net. St. John's gave up 7 goals in 22 games this season. I don't care what level you're playing at. That is hard to do.
There is a clip in the interview that I did with Dave Kroll just last week, and he talks about how they're going to try to slow down Needham, meaning that in that championship game. And clearly what you're telling me and what, you know, is that what his plan was completely worked, and that they control the field and they don't blow people out. You know, they're tight games during the course of the year, but they control that field.
Needham, the first few minutes of the second half, they turned up the pressure like they did against Weymouth in the second half in the state semifinals. And they generated some chances, but nothing really was a serious threat to go in the net. The St. John's defense just kept pushing them out to the sides. And once the Prep made it 2-0, Dave Kroll said to us after the game that he knew they were going to win because there was no way Needham was scoring 3 goals on his team.
Exactly. No way at all. I wonder if Needham felt the same way. They probably did, you know? Man. Yeah,
and I can tell you, it's the biggest crowd I've ever seen for a soccer game in my life, Bill. They had 4,000 paying spectators at 12 o'clock on a Saturday afternoon.
Nice. And Newburyport, Matt?
Phenomenal job by them. By Sean Blow and company. 23-0. That, you don't do that very often, even at that level.
Exactly. All right, Matt, let me just transition here to Thanksgiving. And where will you be on Thanksgiving, or have you picked up that assignment yet?
I'll be right back at home in Lynn at Manning Field for Classical English.
All right, and so you got new coach this year at English High School, and of course, Coach Brian Vaughn at Classical, who's been a part of this rivalry for many years now. I'm actually both sides of the field playing for English High School many years ago, but I was there then watching his games.
Word, Bill.
What's that?
I'm not saying a word.
No, that's fine. That's fine. I get it. But I guess I wasn't covering the English Classical Thanksgiving game at that time, but I did see him during the regular season. And since that time, year for years, we did the English Classical game on the website here. But so that should be a good matchup for sure on Thanksgiving. Any other matchups stand out to you as you look ahead on Thanksgiving? They just don't mean what they used to. But you know,
but you mean you still got teams. Some teams will be playing for league championships, and so yeah, they mean it's hard because you got the 16 teams in the Super Bowls now. How much are you really going to play on Thursday in terms of starters? And you want to win the game, I understand that, but do you run the risk of somebody getting dinged up that you're going to need the following weekend?
Yeah, that's why, you know, at the end of the day, this playoff system is okay, but there could be better ways of doing this. And I think Coach Dombowski down at Milton, formerly of Swampscott, has a better plan, to be quite honest with you, in my estimation, from what I know now, because, you know, I want to put the meaning back into the Thanksgiving football game, and I think his plan would do more of that. But I do like the idea of a postseason tournament. And the other thing, too, Matt, cutting it down from 16 to 8, I don't think you lose anything because there have been a lot of mismatches in the first 2 weeks of this.
You look at the semifinals, the lowest seeded team that was left was Bishop Feehan, who was a 14 seed. And you can make a really good argument that only because they were hurt at the beginning of the year that they were grossly underseeded. You watch them play, there was no way they were a 14 seed in the tournament. They were much better than that, so if you were a top 8 seed in this tournament, you made it through to at least a semifinal. So the system would have worked under that new proposal.
Yeah, and Feehan is an interesting story, and I think you're probably always going to have teams like that, and you always would have too. I mean, even in the olden days, Matt. Let's say, in other playoff systems, let's say you had a first couple of games that were bad, and when it was based on wins and losses, and you jump to 0-2, well, you can completely forget about any postseason play back in the old days. You know what I'm saying? We had teams back back in when they had the point system, when they just did a point system for each division for the top teams, like Winthrop, I think it was, right? They go undefeated 1 year, make the Super Bowl. They go undefeated the next year and don't make the Super Bowl.
I mean, you're never going to – I don't think you're ever going to find a perfect system, Bill, that's going to make everybody happy. I think where we are now is a good step in the right direction. Because you can't sit here and tell me – you look at a team like Springfield Central in football, they're arguably one of the two best teams in Massachusetts. But if they played in the old system, they never would have got a chance to prove that. They would have won a Central West Super Bowl, and people would still be saying – who is St. John's Prep hypothetically really the best team in Massachusetts in D1? Now you at least get that decided. Does it need tweaks? Yes, probably. But I don't think we're far off from where it should be.
No, I agree. I just think you could start this after Thanksgiving and do it quickly. Because here, you do a double whammy to Thanksgiving. Here's my last thing on my soapbox, Matt. You do a double whammy by Thanksgiving because you have these teams, and you just said it, that are in the Super Bowl. They're nursing injuries. They just played Saturday. Their opponents probably didn't just play Saturday, obviously, if they weren't playing in these state semifinals. So they're going to rest guys so they can be ready for, or probably rest some guys. They don't always do it, but some teams do. And then it takes away from Thanksgiving on that alone. And these are the teams that are in postseason, and their Thanksgiving games, you know, are less and less meaningful, and especially even to them. But I get it. They're not going to say they're not important to them. And sometimes they are important. For example, I think last year's Swampscott Marblehead game was a good game. But, you know, they're not a lot of those. They're both Super Bowl teams.
They went out and played because they were playing for a league championship in an undefeated season, and they didn't want to lose it to each other.
Right.
And give the coaches credit for that.
No, I absolutely do. And you know something? I can't fault a coach for being careful with players on Thanksgiving now. Back in the day when all of this first happened, we were going, oh, you can't be doing that. Come on, you know. But the way it is now, if you're playing on this Saturday, just completed, and now just a few days later you're out on the field, is this the best thing for kids to be playing so quickly, turning games around so quickly, you know, with more games still ahead? I don't know, but. You know.
I mean, is the argument you're going to play three games in approximately 13 days? Is that really what you want kids to do? I mean, it is better than the old system where you used to play three games in 10 days. So,
yeah, no, I get it, and I think if I could paraphrase, yeah, go ahead, Matt. I'm sorry.
I don't think you'll ever find a perfect system that's going to make everybody happy, and that's just what we have to live with here.
But Matt, all we need to do is make myself happy and make you happy, right?
Then the world is good, right?
Then it's all good. Yep, it's all good. Matt, anything else to share with us before we part ways here?
No, I mean it's been a tournament that's been really good in a lot of ways. It's been a lot of really really good games in every sport, and I think in some of the other sports we don't talk about, where the volleyball, the field hockey, the soccer, the system is working. You're getting what you want out of it, which is a true state champion. And for the first time in a long time, it's a good thing to see that the best teams are winning.
Right, and I do agree with you on that too, and I do agree that, you know, the teams that are left, the Super Bowl teams of the in the eight divisions, the 16 teams as you mentioned, you know, they're good picks, they're good teams, and they deserve to be there. And so, in that regard, you know, in hindsight, it is better than, and I kind of stood up for the old North, South, East, West, you know, the Eastern Mass, North, South, and Central and Western Mass thing for a while, because I like the idea of a North championship in certain sports. But now, you know, I think it's great I think you're right. It's much better the way it is right now, and they've done a nice job.
Like you said, no system's going to be perfect, but the people they have at the MIAA now working on it, like Jim Clark, we're going to get a lot closer to where we should be because they know what they're doing.
Yep. And they can tweak that the point system as well down the road I think that will have to be tweaked a bit as well. But for another day. Matt, I think we've extended our welcome or overstayed it. At least I have anyway. But Matt, thanks so much for joining us.
My pleasure, Bill.
Always great talking with you. Matt Roy with us from the Boston Herald will be at the Lynn Classical Lynn English game on Thanksgiving Day. And it's hard to believe, just days away here on MSONewsSports.com.